very distraught that I don't have on a coat today. Don't look reverently without a coat on. I don't look reverently with one on, but got some complaints last Sunday about it being too cold in here, and so what I was trying to do was get it cool enough so I wouldn't be hot. So I decided, well, I won't wear a coat, and we'll turn the air conditioner up just a little bit, a little higher, and I'll use a fan, and maybe everybody will be comfortable. So I hope you're comfortable. It's set on 72, and if you're hot, then you need to start sitting on the outside. If you're cold, you need to sit on the inside, because all the vents are over there. And you can find a cool spot on that outside edge, Joyce. but anyway, I'm just kidding. If you would, turn me this morning to 2 Timothy. I want you to get two passages, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. And I want to read these two passages as we start out this morning. And to those that have joined us via the internet, we're glad that you have. The sound quality may be a little bit less, or it might not be quite as good as it usually is. We have a very nice soundboard. At least it was very nice until about a week ago when it quit working. And we're going to try to get that fixed. If we can't get it fixed, we may have to buy a new one. But we're using a wireless mic, and usually the sound is not quite as good, and we apologize, but that's the best that we can do at this point, and we'll try to have the soundboard back up and working real soon. Look in Proverbs chapter 20 first. The first verse we want to look at, Proverbs 20, verse 6. The writer of Proverbs, very, very short verse here, but it says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find." I find that verse really fascinating. In such few words, it describes the very nature of mankind. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Look over in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and notice there in verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." Well, then there must be some faithful men. The question is asked, where can you find faithful men? He said, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now, we know that Paul is speaking to Timothy, the young preacher here, and in the context, he's talking about faithfulness in doctrine, faithfulness in the work of the ministry. And so we're going to talk about that, but I want to talk to you about faithful men, not only as far in preaching and teaching, that kind of thing, because there's only a small number of people that ever really do that. But I want us to think about today, faithful men according to the Scripture. Because, you know, in religion, people equate faithfulness many times with activity. You know, people that in the big churches and so forth, if somebody's there, like I was talking about my dad, if somebody's there every service, and if they're there to help and diligent about that thing, people say they're very faithful. And they are in relation to that which they're doing. But that's not what Paul had in mind when he said, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Teach others what? Well, apparently, what Paul said, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men," what? "That they might be able to teach the things that thou hast heard of me to other men." In the Scripture, a faithful man And in the word, what we're reading right here is a man that is faithful to the Word of God. Faithful to the ministry of proclaiming the Word of God, and in particular, proclaiming the Word of God rightly divided. If you look back in Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11, the Bible says He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, notice now, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Those are specific offices in the body of Christ that God gave in the early church. And He said it was for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry. Why? Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When you study the Word of God, there is no mistaking the fact that God had an order that He desired to be followed, and that is that men would preach and teach the Word of God. He said, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. God Almighty determined it, that men, and given through the Apostle Paul, and I know that there were prophetesses and so forth, but in the dispensation of the grace of God, there's no mistaking the fact that God intended for men to be the leaders of the church as well as the home. He said that the head of the woman is the man, the head of the man is Christ. So there is an order that God has established. Thank you, Gloria. And no matter how much people want to fight against it or resist it, that order remains, as far as God is concerned, whether you acknowledge it or not. The man is to be the head of the home, the head of the house. He is to be over the woman. And God ordained that men would teach and preach the Word of God. Now, that's not to say that women would not teach other women. Titus 2 is clear that the older women are to teach the younger women, and he lists there specific things that they're to teach. So the women have a teaching ministry. It's just that women were not to usurp authority over the man. He makes that clear in 1 Corinthians 14 in dealing with the tongues issue. So the point is that men, God Almighty, chose. He didn't say, the things that thou hast heard of me, commit to faithful people. He said to faithful men, that they might be able to teach others also. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 4. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. You need to be a faithful steward. A steward in the Bible was an overseer. It was used like a term of somebody that would oversee a plantation or a farming operation, that kind of thing. And it says that a man, as ministers of Christ, we're stewards of the mysteries of God, the things that God has given us through the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote about 7 or 8 mysteries that are relevant and specific to the church, the body of Christ. We're not to be stewards of the kingdom program. We're not to be stewards of the kingdom gospel. We're to be stewards of the mysteries of Christ. That has to do with Romans 16:25, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to what? The revelation of the mystery. And we need men who will take a stand and be faithful in being stewards of that mystery. That's why the Apostle Paul put so much emphasis on doctrine. And so I want you to notice some areas in which men need to be faithful. Number one, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. They need to be faithful in sound doctrine, faithful to the doctrine. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, notice in verse 13. Now, as I said, when you read Timothy, you're reading a book that's written to a preacher. But folks, God Almighty intends for every one of us, men, women, boys, and girls that are saved, the Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ. That's not just preachers. You have opportunities. You come in contact with people that I never will come in contact with. Other people won't. And you have an opportunity to make known unto them the truth of the gospel and be a good steward of the mysteries of God. I got an email last night, just before I went to bed, from a person who had gotten into a confrontation with her family. And she said that she didn't know if she had done the right thing or not, because a discussion came up and she stood her ground as far as the belief and so forth. She had a brother that's a Pentecostal, I don't know if he's a preacher or not, and her dad, he doesn't really go to church anywhere. And so the discussion came up, and the two men agreed that AIDS was God's punishment toward homosexuals, and that God brought that about. And she said, well, that was the stupidest thing she had ever heard, that God didn't bring that about. It came about because of a sin curse that's upon the earth. And so her question was, you know, how bold should I be? Should I stand my ground or as a woman and so forth? And she was sincere in asking advice about that. And I thought about, and I wrote her back and I said, I think the difficult thing is not what we should say. We know what we ought to say. Most of the time, the difficulty comes in how we present it. Because she had said she'd gotten angry. And I wrote her and I said, well, I've never had that problem, so I couldn't write, no. I told her I could understand fully that many times because we hear things that are so outlandish, we are riled up and so forth. And I just tried to encourage her. And what I ended with was to look at that as a teaching opportunity. Because every time we share something out of the Word of God, folks, we are planting a seed. And the Bible says, one plants, another waters, and God gives the increase. And while people might be upset with you at the time, it happens. Just always look at that. And we should be in a spirit of meekness and long-suffering toward those that we have an opportunity to teach. But the point is that you never know when that spoken word and quoting Scripture and giving a position that the world doesn't generally know about, those are teaching opportunities. Being faithful to the Word of God. That's what's important. And that's what Paul is talking about. He says there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. Now notice how he identifies that. Which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. There's no mistaking the fact that Paul was adamant in distinguishing that which Timothy may have heard from the 12, because over and over again he says, the things that thou hast heard of me. He said the things, the verse that we started out with, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Paul was not some kind of egotist. Paul was not putting himself above somebody else. What Paul was doing was acknowledging and encouraging Timothy to acknowledge that the message given to the Apostle Paul was the message for the church, the body of Christ, the message to be preached during the dispensation of the grace of God. And he said to hold fast to those form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. And you know, that like the situation I mentioned a moment ago, it becomes very difficult at times to hold fast to the form of those sound words. It is much easier to go along to get along, I think the saying is. It's not always easy to swim upstream, but usually that's where we find ourselves amongst our friends and our families and those that will not acknowledge the truth of God's Word rightly divided. It's not always easy being the oddball, is it? You know, it's not always easy being the one that people consider a heretic or in a cult, that kind of thing. Well, listen, men, women, boys, and girls, but men particularly, you need to be strong in the grace, strong in the faith. And he said, hold fast. You know, when I hear that term, hold fast, the picture that comes to my mind, I guess you could give, probably everybody has a different picture. But the thing that I always see is somebody out there with a life preserver, and they're out there drowning, and they grab on to it. Now, if you're out there in water over your head, you're going to hold fast. You're going to hold on for dear life. Well, he said to hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. You see, there's always going to be resistance. There's always going to be those that are not going to believe. I know right here in our fellowship, we have people that have spouses that do not agree with them doctrinally. Well, listen, I praise God for men and women that hold fast to the form of sound words and stand for the truth and resist the temptation to compromise one bit when it comes to the Word of God. You know, I've thought many times about the impact that, and I've mentioned this before, about that Brother Moore had on me. He taught me a lot of things. But you know, scripturally, there were quite a few things that he and I disagreed on. But the one thing that I appreciated about him and the one thing I learned from him, I think above anything else, was to stand fast for what you believe and never compromise it. Never compromise what you believe in order to get along with people, in order to get the approval of men. Look back in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1. Hold on to Timothy there. We're going to come back in a moment. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul has addressed the situation with the preacher, with the preaching of the gospel being perverted. And notice what he says in Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? You see, it's not too hard to please men. All you got to do is tell people what they want to hear. That's what we call a politician. You tell people what they want to hear. And you know, you've seen the clips where politician be speaking to one group, and he'll tell them, you know, if it's a Christian group, he's going to be real Christian. If it's a different group, you know, he goes here and he tells people what they want to hear. Well, Paul said, if I now persuade men or God, do I now persuade men or God, or I seek to please men? It is not our job to please men. He said, for if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You can't be both, folks. You can't be a men pleaser and the servant of Christ at the same time. Because men, in general, are going to resist the truth of the Word of God. Don't ever try to base a ministry or base your life as a Christian in proclaiming the truth on the approval of those of people. And by the way, don't ever judge whether something is right or wrong based on how many people accept it and approve of it. If it's right according to the Word of God, stand for that, stand upon that, and preach that until the day you die. Look back in 1 Timothy now. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Faithful in sound doctrine. Look in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Titus 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. He's talking to Titus there about men that that would be bishops. And he says they're to hold fast the faithful word as they've been taught, that they may be able, how? By sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. That is, those that are saying what they say for self-gain. Paul talks about their own belly. In verse 10, he says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake." Then a man of God is to be sound in doctrine. Not only that, he's to be sound in what he teaches. And obviously that would be tied directly to the sound doctrine. He said, "The things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men." He's to be faithful in good works. Look here in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, look in verse 1. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, nor false, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity." You see, these are things that are to be taught. The older women teach the younger women. The older men are to teach the younger men. He said, "The young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness." Don't let somebody corrupt the doctrine. "Gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters." Look in chapter 3, verse 1. "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers," and so forth. Look in verse 8, Titus chapter 3, verse 8. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Then it's obvious, though we read the phrase there, "good works," three different times, that God Almighty wants us to do good works. That's opposed to bad works. And I'm not talking about just, you know, serving on the church committee here and doing this and doing that. The good works are works that are according to the Word of God. Paul said, "We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works." And so, in faithfulness, it's not only believing the truth, it's not only standing for the truth and proclaiming the truth as you have opportunity and doing so that you might please God and not men, but it's also a performance of that which God has told us in His Word that needs to be done. Look back, if you will, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Wherefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Look back in, down in chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ye fathers, verse 4. Ephesians 6, 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11. First Corinthians 11, verse 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now I want you to just kind of do an experiment with me this morning in your minds. Those passages we've just read, I want you to just imagine what the world would be like if every individual did what God Almighty said in His Word. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Acknowledge the order that God has set. The head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, the head of Christ is God. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Are you thinking about what the world would be like if every individual followed those instructions? It'd be an amazing place, wouldn't it? Do you think that we would have a 60% divorce rate in America if everybody followed those passages? No. Do you think we would have so many single parents today if everybody followed those admonitions and instructions? No. You see, we look at these things sometimes, folks, as platitudes and things that, I mean, you say, well, you're just living in a dream world now. If you think about those kind of things. Come on, folks, this is the Word of Almighty God written to us for our learning, for our understanding, that we might do the work that God Almighty has called us to do when He said, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, I want you to think about this. You can't do anything about what other people do with these Scriptures. But what about if you just bring it down to your home and the environment that you're in? What kind of place would it be if every individual in that home obeyed the Word of God? I'll tell you what it'd be. It'd be the closest thing to heaven on earth that you would ever find. Because God designed the family. God, in the very beginning, said that when Adam and Eve, He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and they cleave unto his wife, and they too shall be one. God designed the family, and the family design is in the Word of God. And when I say these things, it's in no way condemning people that find themselves in some kind of situation where they're outside of what God originally planned. My purpose in saying this, folks, is that the problem today in the world that we live in every area, whether it's politics, economics, the home, family, or society in general, is that people refuse to acknowledge and understand and obey the Word of God. And if we had a society where people obeyed the Word of God, it would be heaven on earth, as you, when you think about it. It would be a utopian society. And people have tried to achieve that through all kind of things. I mean, that was the original intent, not to bring God into it, but in communism, in a social network where everybody is equal, that kind of thing. And it's a failure. Why? Because the principles of God were not applied. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men, that they might be able to teach others also. There has been a breakdown in the religious system of this world today because people have refused to teach and preach the instructions of the Apostle Paul. How many churches today have women preachers? Why do they have those? Because they ignore the teachings of the Word of God through the Apostle Paul. Why does this world today end up in the way it is? Because people refuse to obey the Word of God. And you know who's to blame for that? The churches are to blame for that. Because back years ago, the churches became more concerned with filling the church up with people and preaching whatever people wanted to hear in order to get the crowd rather than standing for the truth of the Word of God. Say, well, there wouldn't be anybody there. Yeah, but the preacher would be right in preaching the truth whether the people accepted it or not. It's such a sad situation when you realize and understand that God has given us a perfect blueprint for what He desires in our life and the life of those that we're associated with that know Christ as their Savior. And yet we, so many times, in our own mind, believe that there's a better way. There's a different way. Well, there is not a better way than God's way. And I know today it's not popular to talk about the role of the man and woman. I remember several years ago that the Southern Baptist Convention had their meeting down in Atlanta. And they always put out a statement of beliefs and things that they have debated on and so forth. And one of their things was that they reaffirmed the position that God created and the responsibilities and differences in men and women. And there was an outrage. I mean, I saw CNN and even on Fox, people talking about that archaic idea that somehow the man is to be over the woman, that kind of thing, and completely distorted what they were even getting to. An outrage over the Word of God. I was watching that thing Friday night, comes on, it's What Would You Do? Or something like that, about where they put people in situations. And one of the illustrations, one of the things that they did was they put people, and they were talking about homosexuality in the Boy Scouts and that kind of thing. And they had a woman sitting there, and she was talking about how the Bible condemned homosexuality and went on with that. And the people were just outraged. Now listen, I understand that homosexuality is no different than any other sin. But they zero in on that and try to make people that they made this woman, and by the way, she was an actor, but they were showing how, what they were showing was how stupid that opinion really is in the eyes of the world. This world is in a mess, folks, and it's because people have not stood upon and for the Word of God. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men, that they might be able to teach others also. We should never compromise the truth of the Word of God because of societal changes and because the world out there is not in goose step, or we should never try to be in goose step with the world in order to get along. Stand for the truth of the Word of God. Now, I understand that we should do it in a spirit of meekness, with long suffering, but we should never compromise the truth. God Almighty said in His Word that it was a man's responsibility to be the head
of the wife, the head of the family. He is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Both individuals have responsibilities. One is not less important than the others. When you follow the role God set up in the Bible, it is not in any way demeaning to women, as society tries to make it look like. It's simply different. Different roles, different positions. The man is to be the provider of the family. That story I told you a moment ago about what my dad said about taking the job. When I got up the next morning, his handwriting, it wasn't very good. He never finished high school until he was in his 50s, and he got a GED. He was tickled to death. He finally finished high school when he was 56 years old. And he always carried a little pencil in his pocket. Had one of those things that slipped over the end of it. And he wrote out the verse of Scripture, "If any man provide not for his own, he's worse than an infidel." And he left that on my dresser after he told me he was going to be janitor at that church. The Word of God, folks, is real. And it's right. And no matter how much we evolve as a society, the Word of God will always have the answer. Whether people want to ignore it, act upon it, or whatever, it's still the Word of God. It's still truth. The man is to be faithful. He's to provide the physical needs, the spiritual needs, and the emotional needs. And he's to be the protector of the family from false doctrine and false teaching and from the things that enter into the home. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. There's a man that was on the internet, and he was talking about guns and about protecting your family, and I believe people ought to be able to have as many guns as they want and own all they want to. But as this man was talking, he didn't sound too much like he cared much about the Word of God based on some comments he made. And the thought that came to my mind is this man is intent on protecting his family physically. I wonder how concerned he is with protecting them spiritually. There's men today that loaded their families up into cars and took them down and took them to churches where they'll hear nothing but false doctrine. They'll hear a message about work salvation, and they'll be put back under the law and so forth. Listen, man, you not only need to protect your family physically, you need to protect them spiritually and have them in a place where they can hear the Word of God. And if you can't have a place where they hear the Word of God, then you teach them the Word of God. Or find somebody on the internet to teach them the Word of God. I appreciated what Brother Brad said on TBN the other night. The question came up about attending churches and what church he went to. He said, we study at home. Our children are homeschooled. And he said, we have visited other churches. But he said, my belief is that Bible study ought to start at home. And he said, we have two or three sessions a week with our family. And that audience was just dead silent. I mean, I'd listen to some other, you know, and everything people were saying, this cheering and going, you know, about the Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost falling and all that. Brad started talking about preaching at home and being the man of the home and leading the family. It got deathly quiet. Whatever it takes, wherever you are, stand fast. Hold fast the form of sound words. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men, that they might be able to teach others also. I want to say this morning in closing that I know that I don't generally tell people enough how much I appreciate them and care for them. I was a manager at Blue Cross for many years, and I was reminded of that quite often. That I didn't tell people how much I appreciated them. What I wanted to say was maybe a reason I haven't told you is because I don't. But that was at work. But I want to tell you, there are men, many here this morning, that have stood for the truth of the Word of God, have seen that their family has been here, and has been taught and instructed ever since I've been part of Grace Bible Church. And there's men that have become more recently. And I thank God for men who stand for the truth of the Word of God rightly divided and the gospel of the grace of God. I know it would be a lot easier to go somewhere where the entertainment and the orchestra and the band plays and all that kind of stuff. But there are people here today whose families are saved because they took a stand for the Word of God. And they brought them to a place, not just here, but to Bible camps and Bible conferences where they could hear the gospel preached and the truth preached. And I thank God for those men. Those are the faithful men that Paul's talking about. Be faithful. Stand for the truth. If you're not saved today, it's hard to be faithful to the Word of God. It's impossible if you don't first start with the basics. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. And above everything else, a person needs to know that they have trusted in Him and that they're saved, sealed in the day of redemption, and then stand for the truth of the Word and preach the Word. We are stewards of the mysteries of God, and it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Would you stand with me for prayer?